What's up, folks? Welcome to Nino's Corner. I am back with Ron, Big Ron. What's going on, Ron? Ron Bertain. Folks, we're going to be talking about a little bit about Cliff High's video. Kind of lines up with what a lot of people are talking about or what they feel is coming, because we all feel something's coming. Let's just be honest. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first, folks, Noble Gold, Noble Gold, get your Noble Gold. Feeling unsure about your finances these days? Because I am. You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the folks. They've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything, no stress. With their help, I can finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments, folks. It's down there at the bottom. Noble Gold Investments, noblegoldinvestments.com. Hit the link down below. Get started on that and start being able to sleep easy at night. All right, Ron. I don't know if anyone could sleep easy tonight with after watching the Cliff High video, right?
Well, yeah, and I, you know, you kind of beat me to the punch. We're doing this very impromptu. And, you know, I didn't get to finish watching the entire video that you did with Cliff. And then the next one that I was going to watch was the one that he did with Anguin or whatever the guy's name was.
Algieri or Dick Algier or something. Yeah, right. I'm going to have him on my show, too, at some point. The remote viewer, correct?
Yeah, I think that's what that was what he talked about. So that was next on my list to do. So, you know. What I gathered he was talking about was some sort of an event that is going, you know, he said it was going to be anywhere between 3 and 13 times greater than September 11.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the way he does that is that he invented a software that can read the internet language or chatter that goes from tension to release. And he reads the Delta. And basically he was able to, you know, what he sees coming is an event with a luminosity greater than one, which if 9/11 was like a one, this will definitely be greater than like a 3 or 4. And this is what he sees to a 13. So I don't know. I mean, I look at this like we all feel it, bro. I mean, let's just be honest. We know that, and they know, the Democrats know the gig is up. I mean, things are happening a lot faster now. I'd be surprised if nothing happens this fall.
I would be shocked if we don't see something happen before Christmas. You know, I know that there something's coming up on October 4th where they're going to test the EBS or something along those lines. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's going to have, if that's going to play into it, or if that's just going to be the one thing that I do know is I don't put any trust in dates at all. None.
No, but they're giving us a date for that EBS, that national broadcast. That's like the rehearsal before the big dance. You don't do that unless
true
planning something, man.
True. I agree with that. But I mean, they didn't, you know, you look at the event that happened before, you know, before the sickness came out in 2020, you know, the there was that event at Johns Hopkins, right? That was put on by Bill Gates. And whatever. So, you know, they do project things that they're going to be doing in the future. And the reason they do that is it allows them to sleep at night, right?
Like, karma.
Well, yeah. So they tell everybody what they're going to do. And if you're the theory is that if you don't understand what they're talking about and you don't understand their language, then it's your own fault and it absolves them from any responsibility. Basically,
it's like a universal loophole or something, like karmic loophole, right?
Right. It absolves them of any blame because they've told you in advance what's going to happen. And to realize it, well, then.
But the way they do it also is like through movies, commercials, subliminal messaging. So really, it's not really fair.
Agreed.
you know, but I guess, and I don't think that exolves him from the punishment. I mean, I don't, but.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It matters what they think.
Yeah.
And I mean, so it doesn't really matter what you and I think. That's what they believe, and that's how they operate. So, you know, whether or not the October 4th is going to be an important day, I don't know.
Juanito has said that that's usually about, they're about 3-6 months out from there. So,
yeah.
But there's going to be a counterpunch, which, you know, we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And it, once they feel that counterpunch that Juanito talks about, which I can see that happening, you know, an arrest or something like that, then they go all in. So it's just going to really make it intensify because they're going to be scared and panicked out of their minds, and they're going to know that it's real, and then they're going to hit the pedal to the metal.
Well, I mean, there was an event that happened today that was of enormous consequence in Texas when Paxson was acquitted.
Yeah.
I mean, that was enormous. You know, a lot of people they're not paying attention to that, but that was huge because that was, you know, I didn't know this until recently because I'm not in Texas, but you know, I've got friends in Texas. I know you're in Texas, so you look at he beat George P. Bush. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
That was who he was running against.
Wow.
And he beat George P. Bush because I was watching a little bit of the testimony or whatever, that because it was.
And so, Paxton is like a diehard Trump guy, right?
I don't know if he's diehard Trump, but Paxton was he's the Texas state attorney general,
right.
And he was the incumbent, and then he ran for reelection, and George P. Bush, re-upped his law license, which had been dormant for a while. And when he did, then he ran and he lost. I guess he lost pretty big because Paxson won. But then the Republican legislature impeached him in Texas.
Right.
The Republican legislature impeached the Republican.
And he defeated it
today.
Right. So there's a lot of big, good moves that are being made. You know, have you noticed that? And I just said this on my video the other day. I was like, man, whatever happened? And then here she is. She's reemerging. And she's talking a lot of smack about Kamala, which makes me think she thinks she's going to be president because she's out making the rounds again. I think she's been, you know, patted on the back and said, hey, we might need you to step into the game again. So I think we need to watch her. But where's Newsom? So now that I said that, he's going to reemerge too.
I watched a very interesting video. Have you ever heard of Dark Journalist?
Dark, I've heard of it, but I do Dark not. Journalist. Dark Isn't Journalist. It sounds
he goes by the name Dark Journalist, and he does shows like 3-hour shows, and I don't watch all of his stuff. But he has guests on, and a good friend of mine sent me an interesting video to watch, and it was about an hour long, and it was talking about money and why why Taiwan, and it was, you know, it was theoretical, but it was interesting what they were prognosticating, because essentially what they were saying is that we went there on behalf of the white hats. And I was like, that was interesting. It made a lot of sense though how they laid it out. I'll send you the link, and you could put it in the description. So if anybody wants to see it, they can go and watch it. It was very interesting, and it was all about like China and.
But it's just his theory.
Yeah, but I mean, it's coming from a guy who's studied a lot about money and gold and a lot of stuff. So I think it potentially has a plays a significant role in this. And I only watched it last night, so I'm not really, things that I find that are very interesting, I'll watch them two or three times because I want to make sure that I'm absorbing everything. And I've only seen it once. So I haven't had a chance to really absorb it too much, but things that I do know
that are going to happen, that I've been told are going to happen is a coming arrest. Okay. Mm-hmm. That I've been told. Financial crash, which you agree with, you know that's mm-hmm. coming. And that can't be, and that can be owned by Mr. T. Mm-mm. Trump. That cannot, he cannot own that. And as well as that happening, some type of nuclear standoff that might occur before the next cycle. So I know the first two, I know one is coming for sure, and that's financial crash, right? We all know that's coming. Now, when, I would imagine sooner than later. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to put a date, but I would imagine this fall, next fall.
No, I think it's, I typically they do stuff like that in October.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back historically.
So you think this October is going to be a big month?
Man, I think so, but I mean, I'm not gonna plant a flag in that hill and defend it. I don't do that with dates anymore at all.
You know.
But historically speaking, if you look back, financial crashes have oftentimes happened in October. So yeah. I mean, well, that was the October 29 crash that plunged the world into depression in 1929. That was,
I think everybody can feel it, Ron. I mean, honestly, I think everyone can feel it's coming. I mean, I'm trying to make sense out of it with all the guests that I have, but I do know one thing. I'm not going to say dates like you, but I not only feel it, but putting all the pieces together at ninoscorner.tv and all that, I feel like, this fall, something has to happen. Some kind of chess move is going to be made this fall.
They unleashed, and I mean, I'm seeing, you know,
be careful on this.
I'm out in SoCal, and I see
careful.
Okay, so can I say that people are wearing things,
face diapers? Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw that at the airport, and I saw it in LA. I was just in LA, and when I was there, I was like, oh, here we go again. One in every, I'm not gonna say one in every two people, but it was like one in every 10 I saw with a face mm-hmm. diaper, and I was like, okay. And at the airport, but I mean, no one's really like scared. It looks like to me, it just looks like people are just doing it for precautionary reasons. But I obviously, we know that more is coming. So,
well, I think the people that are doing it now, they're just programmed to do it, and that they're not really thinking about anything. I'm just going to be safe, you know, whatever. I think that there's a large swath of the population that's like, man, no way, I ain't wearing no face diaper again. That ain't going to happen. I think that's going to be the majority of people. I mean, I'm seeing polls on Twitter and other places where, you know, the question is being asked, and you know, it's like in the 80%, like, I'm never going to comply with something like that again. Well,
according to Cliff, whatever happens has to be at a bigger magnitude than 9/11 in order to carry us into 2024 November. So it's got to be really big. So if they do anything, and he said they're probably nervous, they're probably going to the toilet vomiting because they don't know. This is a very risky situation even for them to play this move, because it has to be that big and we have to fall for it. That's the key. They have to control consciousness into 2024. We have to believe it.
Well, you have to have a certain segment of the population believe it. But I think that people are waking up to the degree that they're not. And there's a lot of people are not going to believe it. They're going to immediately question it. I know, would you believe it?
I didn't believe it the first time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean,
but that's us. That's us.
Right. That's my point. But I think our ranks are growing exponentially. Now, I don't think that I still question whether or not I know Juanito has talked about the 80% number a lot. And I still question whether we're at the 80%. I think that we are. I think that there's a certain, I think there's a probably, I think it's, it could be 80%, but within that 80%, I think there's degrees of belief within that 80%, right? Like you've got, like, I think there's people that like me that have been like red pilled for a long time and it's like they distrust everything. Yeah. And then you've got people that are new red pilled and they are still questioning whether or not to believe something. So there's degrees. I think that, you know, when I think about Mr. Teague, and I still think he's coming back. And I think there's a point in time when he does come back. And I think that the whole reason that we had, call it the pause, where, you know, where he isn't here, is so that he can't be blamed for a lot of the things, because there's enough time disparity between what happened and you know, in January of 2021 to now. There's enough of a time difference that he can't be held accountable for things that are going bad, right? I mean,
he can't own it, right?
Right. Like he can't. Well, he can't be blamed for it.
And from what I understand as well, is he's not going to be inserted immediately. There's going to be a transitional period that's a lot of confusion and a lot of probably chaos. But it's going to be like that's going to be like the real pause. Like, so like the Biden is like the red pill, but then there is going to be a point where there's going to be a time when he's not, it can't look like it's coming from him.
Right.
So we still have a financial crash to happen. So everyone knows that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we have some kind of
event
standoff. And then this is just what I'm gathering from my guests, and you've seen them as well. And then some kind of transitional period where he's not inserted in immediately. There's a period of time where things have to get sorted out and proven to the public, and then he comes.
Right. Well, and so let me. I'm going to ask you, when in that in between time, what do you think it looks like? Do you think it's chaos? Do you think it's?
I think some cities, yeah, because that'll be the time when they go for broke, you know, like, you know, they say 13 to 15 cities lost. Mm-hmm. I would imagine they're going to be Democratic run cities that are just hell holes that are just going to go to the gutter, because they already are. So I would imagine when they say we're going to lose 13 to 15 cities, that's probably around that time frame when they know that they're going down. They're probably going to go for broke and try to take down everything with them. Well, and go for the chaos. And it'll probably be the immigrants that are coming over that they activate.
Now, I have heard that there is going to be a point in time when the people that have emigrated here are going to, there's going to be a mass migration away. People are going to be like,
okay. They're going, so the I'm hearing direction. Rumors, and Juan talked about this earlier today with me. I did a double header with Juan, both going up on ninoscorner.tv. That he said that Mexico is building the wall in certain areas because they're expecting an influx of them coming back. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so what is that? So if this is true and they are building the wall in certain places because they're expecting an influx of us of them coming back, what are they anticipating?
Right.
What do they know?
Right. So some of that could be people that are no longer amongst the living, and then some of that could be people that are leaving and going elsewhere.
Well,
and
we hope.
So it's not necessarily going to be necessarily like a die off. It's just going to be it's going to be people that are like exiting the country now, whether it could be either one or two or both. I think that's a very realistic possibility. You know, I remember when I was at one of the events at, I was talking to Mel Kay one time, and she was in New York, and I guess there was something that had happened at the United Nations, and she lived.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, she was at like a restaurant or something, and some of these guys
overheard someone talking.
No, they came in and she came in and she's like, oh, you guys are the ones that are trying to turn us into Venezuela or whatever. And this guy said, this guy looked over to her and said, no, honey, it's going to be way worse than Venezuela.
That's right.
Way worse than Venezuela.
I still have a more positive outlook on this because I see the war that we're fighting. I mean, that's what they think.
I agree.
That's what they think, but it's not going to happen.
He was the, you know, he was talking from the standpoint of a globalistic perspective. Right.
They're very confident. They're very, no doubt about it. They're going to make these moves. Nothing's going to stop them.
No. No, it's a war and they're not going to give up. Now, I don't think that they're going to win. But
it's
I think
gonna be, it's going to be ugly. We're all going to be in the trenches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when I was, I was talking to Juan one time. It was at the event in Dallas. Remember when we were in Dallas? I don't know how long ago that's been. Was it about a year ago when we went to the concert? Remember?
Oh, did we go to the Nugent concert?
Yeah, we went to the Nugent concert.
That was cool.
I don't remember exactly when that was.
Has that been already been a year?
I don't know, something like that. But we were there and no, I think that was actually it was like fall, spring. I think it was like February or March or something like that. But
anyway, Ted Nugent rocked.
Exactly. We got to go in.
We were front and center.
We got to go. We were in between the stage and the front row.
I was sitting right next to Shemaine Nugent, and then Ted Nugent is right in front of me, rocking out. I'm like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was cool.
But I remember that weekend. I sat at the table with Juan, and he was talking about how you know we're gonna have to have military men, or potentially have to come back out and serve their country again. And it was kind of funny because he used the analogy of bringing back the USS New Jersey out of mothballs in the early 80s, and because that was kind of funny because that was my ship. He didn't know that, but that was the ship that I served on when I was
really
in. Yeah.
Wow.
So if you, I don't know if you can see it right up here, just right here, that's the hat right up here. That's the USS New Jersey. So that was the ship that I was on. But he was talking about, that there's going to be people that are going to be called upon to come back and serve their country because they're going to be needed.
Do you think it's because the military is just so divided?
Maybe, or
I think that's what it could be,
or they're just going to be, or that the military is going to be so weakened, or spread out. I mean, how many bases do we have all over the world, and not all of the military is in the United States. Our military is spread out, very very thin. So, and we're not guarding the borders. We're not guarding our borders. So, I don't know, man. There's so many variables and unknowns with what's coming. I just don't know. The only thing that I can say with absolute certainty is that we are going to have some sort of a financial event that is going to cause chaos. I know that is, to me, it's absolute ironclad.
And you're still a big believer in XRP, hands down, right?
Oh yeah, still got my hat, dude. XRP. So I hold a lot of XRP. But it's not so much we live in a world where crypto is going to be in our future. That is not an if. It's like, you're old enough to remember what it was like without a cell phone. All right. You're old enough to remember what it was like without email.
Yeah.
We are going so digital assets and blockchain technology, that is going to be part of our future. It is not negotiable. That is going to happen. And
look, for me, it's kind of like it's a gamble for me right now because I don't really understand. I don't know where this is all going. And I think it's so uncertain right now. I have some XRP, which I do. And then I got gold and silver because I know that just retains its value. But Well, it's just, man, it's just such a gamble right now, dude. It's like it's like almost like playing a game I'm not too familiar with, and I'm just learning it. But that's how I feel with crypto.
I got a message from Jim yesterday, and he said the Shanghai gold price is now $102 higher than COMEX. That's a major story in the making. It was $60 back in early July when my guy started reporting on the Delta. And I said, well, what does that mean? He says it means the COMEX goes dark, becomes irrelevant, and gets shut down. So so we should soon expect in the United States, UK, and Canada, and Western Europe, a totally absurd low gold price with zero meaning since there's no supply. So, and then you turn to the 15 bricks.
Yeah, you're talking about Jim Willie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, because I talked to him, you know, he and I.
He's coming on ninoscorner.tv like in the next 4 days.
Nice. Yeah, he's.
I'm going to bring you on with him. He didn't really. He didn't like my Peter Schiff interview too much.
What? you did an interview with Peter Schiff?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I made Zero Hedge. They showed the video on Zero Hedge. I was like, all right, that's cool. But
yeah well, but, I'm a big fan of Peter Schiff.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn this myself. So I'm just trying to ask questions. I don't really, man, dude, I'm just trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together for myself and my audience. That's really
on 1,000%. Well, I mean,
I'm not claiming to know much of anything financial.
You do a good job at that because, you know, you ask questions and you come at it from a perspective of you don't know and you want to learn. And I think that resonates a lot with your audience, which I think is one reason.
Do you know how many interviews I've done where I don't know anything about the person?
Hmm. Oh, yeah, a lot.
And I'll be like, you probably have witnessed it, but I'll be like, the less I know, the better. Because yeah. I approach it like I want to approach the interview like with a clean slate and not have any negative perceptions or any kind of bias, nothing. I want to go into it just like a child, like just let's figure this out. Like let's, mm-hmm. So
it was interesting. I just read a couple of books. They were very small books, recently, just within the last week. And I did the second one tonight, actually, before I was sitting at my desk when I texted you. And the title of the book was he was an American Israeli who migrated to Israel and then found out what Israel was really like, and then he couldn't wait to get away. And I read those books with the kind of like what you just said. I read them because I didn't know what it was like. But the first title of the book was An American Jay with Living in Racist Marxist Israel. And I was like, that title caught my attention. I was like, ooh. And then the second one was My Farewell. It was all about the story about him leaving and what prompted him to leave because he couldn't take it anymore. And I learned a few things that I had that I was totally unaware of when I did it. And it was very interesting. But I mean, that in my humble opinion, that is the entities that we're fighting, you know, that is pulling the strings behind the scenes. And, you know, on the message board, they said, hey, we're, you know, that little country is saving for last.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, I'm like, okay. Well, what do they mean by that? And I feel like I have a pretty, after reading those, I'm like, oh, I have a better understanding of why. So, I think part of that is the financial crash.
Yeah.
Part of it is the financial crash. I
would imagine that has to happen this fall, man. I can't see this getting drawn out much further. I
don't either.
I mean, it just seems, and I don't believe, you know, with that there's going to be a next cycle. I don't see it. I think 24. I think 24 is going to be a brutal year, bro.
I agree. But I think the end of 23 is going to be brutal as well, because, you know, dude, people are losing their jobs right and left.
Yeah.
People aren't spending money. You know,
the news will sit there and say, we're going into a recession. We're way past that.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
I pay attention to a lot of economic channels on YouTube, and I mean, some crypto, some people who are like, I'm monitoring the economy. Some people are talking about gold and silver. So, I mean, I watch a lot of stuff, and I absorb quite a bit. And my understanding is history for the most part, but I'm not stupid. And I've, you know, I really made a kind of a concerted effort in about probably 2018 to really start to pay attention, closer attention to the economy. And when I did, I started watching a lot more stuff. And so now, even though I don't totally understand it, because there's still things that I'm like, I don't understand that, because I'm just, you know, I was never a financial planner. None of that. Some of that stuff just doesn't make any sense to me. But I have a better grasp on it now. And watching a lot of these channels and seeing the things that they're talking about in terms of the credit, you know, all the credit cards and the debt that's out there, and the people and the companies that are closing down, and the people that are behind on their mortgages, and the people that are behind on their credit cards, and the people that are behind on their cars, and the student loan debt, and all this stuff. It's like, it's coming to a head. It's like, yeah, all roads are converging, and that's what we're coming into. And I tend to believe that it's, you know, it was always going to happen, but I think Mr. T did what he could to accelerate it so that it would happen under a Biden presidency.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think whatever's going to happen needs to escalate now, and I think it's going to. And I think that this going into 24, hold on, buckle up, because whatever's going to happen in fall, okay, because we know that they go by this calendar, has to happen this fall. I don't see how it can happen next fall. It'd be way too obvious. It has to be this fall. So whatever they're doing, I think their hands are being pushed into this fall. And I think that Biden is like the necessary rotting corpse they have to hold on to. And I just, what do you think about that? What do you think, we've talked about Democrat musical chairs that are getting ready to be played. What do you see? Do you see, I kind of see Kamala making more of a noise, urging, I don't know where Newsom's at, but he'll probably show up.
I mean, Newsom there, you know, California is out there passing introducing the 28th Amendment, which essentially is like nullifying the Second Amendment or whatever. Yeah. Well, yeah, good luck with that. But I mean, they've been talking a long time about, hey, they're coming, you know, that's what they want. They want, you know, but they're never going to get that. Let's just be realistic. That's never going to happen. And that is, for many people, that is a line in the sand that they will not be able to cross. As soon as they try to cross that, no, people, but I also think that I think the powers that be called, think what they want is they want the patriots to stand up and
fight. Right.
That's what they want.
Yeah. They want us to go crazy and create this chaos, civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really amazing to see that we've been able to not do that, you know, not overreact. I mean, they probably would have thought by now,
mm-hmm,
there would have been a hell of a lot more civil unrest with patriots. Everything they've done has been them. Correct. Everything that's happened has been them. And the patriots have been smart enough not to take part in anything.
I think that I think that Trump has had a significant influence on that because he's out there talking about positive things. You know, I mean, remember when he came out in like, I mean, it was like April or March or April when he came out and he was talking about, hey, you know what, the future is going to be bright. And remember when he's talking about flying cars and that we're going to be at the forefront of the flying car technology, and people were at him. And then of course then Greer comes out with the disclosure project thing, and he talks about how all the hidden technologies that are coming out. And he talked about one of the things that he said in there was that roads are going to become obsolete. And and that marries up with some of the stuff that Trump has had and some of the, you know, like the Tesla technologies and a lot of that stuff, you know. So I think that there's a lot of merit to that. I also think that that with what Trump is saying, you know, and remember when DeSantis first announced and he said, hey, I'm gonna, you know, hey, elect me because I'm gonna be able to serve for 8 consecutive years. And Trump's like, I don't care, I don't need 8 years, all I need is 6 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he's saying things that are giving people hope. And, you know, I mean, he is the overwhelming favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did think more people were going to fall for his shenanigans, but, and I was one of the first ones that came out and talked about him being a,
right,
2 years ago. But I mean, just to see that nobody bit it, really nobody's taking the bait. I just, that shows you how awake people are.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a few people that have. Well,
there's always going to be.
I mean, there was who's the guy on the guy who's got like white hair and he lived in California and what's his name? Mitchell, Bill Mitchell, I think is his name anywhere. He had like a huge Twitter presence or whatever. And he was all in the Trump train in 2016, again in 2020, and then he totally ditched him and was on the DeSantis train. And
to his detriment.
His detriment. And so it was Mike Cernovich. I remember Mike Cernovich did.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Mike Cernovich ditched him too. And then Mike Cernovich says, I was wrong. And he came out and he says, I was wrong. And then, of course, him and Bill Mitchell got into a big public, you know, brouhaha. But I mean, there are
people. So Cernovich did ditch DeSantis again?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was wrong.
He was just listening to me the first time.
But my point is that, you know, I mean, there's no way. When you analyze it from a political analysis, you know, you've got to recognize that Trump is, this had to happen. It had to be this way.
Because I had a video with Juan today about that. And it was all about why it was so important for him really to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It had to be this way because what it did was it showed all of the the economy that he had was not a very good economy. I mean, if you really understand it from a fundamental perspective, the economy wasn't good. But see, most people are, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way.
Well, it was a good, somewhat good economy in the system. The system needs to come down.
Well, no. What he did was he made it so that there was so much money out there that he printed the hell out of the dollar, and when he printed the hell out of the dollar, what it did was it cheapened everything. Plus, he lowered taxes and he made us energy independent, and he did a lot of really good things on that. For that perspective, it was good, but he accelerated the money printing to such a degree. You remember the what they called the Roaring Twenties, right?
No,
the Roaring Twenties were so good because the banks flooded the country with money. It was like free money everywhere.
Yeah.
And what they did is they tightened it. They caused a crash, and then they tightened all the money and all the bank runs and everything. Well, and that what it did was it sent us into depression for nearly almost a decade. And you know, really, we really didn't come out of it until after World War II. So it was almost 15 years of depression. Well, that is kind of what Trump did in a microcosm. He printed the hell out of the money because he increased the money supply by a factor of five fold. And so what it did was it gave it the illusion that we had a good economy. Now, there were good things that were happening, but under the surface, at the fundamental level, it was really sick. But he literally handed Biden a ticking time bomb.
Right. But I think we can all agree that this whole deck of cards needs to come down.
Oh, yeah.
Biden, in a sense, is doing what he's supposed to do, which is wreck the whole damn thing.
Well, and I get a little bit of feedback from this, but I actually think that Biden or whoever is masquerading him as him is basically it's a second term of Trump, just clandestinely, because there's a lot of things that he left in place that
that kind of boggles my mind.
Yeah. So
is it a show? I mean, shit, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, well, this is for sure a confusing time.
You know, I watched Nick Alvear did a show called The Greatest, or he just released a new movie called The Greatest Show on Earth.
Yeah, he told me about that. He texted me about that.
And it was I watched it last night. I actually played it for
my haven't seen it yet. Is it pretty good?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was very similar to the Bonfire Guy video, but it was a little bit different because it came from the perspective of Derek Johnson. And I'm not a big 1871 Constitution guy. I'm not big on that because I think people misunderstand that. But he made some very interesting points, and some of it I agree. You know, I probably agreed with about 90% of what was said in the movie. But there was a few things that I disagreed with. But I think in print, you know, taken as a whole, I think he's very close to on the mark, and it kind of goes along.
I think I'm gonna watch it. Okay, I'm gonna watch it. But I think Derek, Nick, Juan, Ghost, you, all of us, people need to realize we're all trying to add. Nobody knows everything. Nobody does. We're all just trying to put pieces of the puzzle, our own piece in, to make the bigger picture, right? That's it. Nobody knows exactly with certainty what's going on. Nobody does. But we're all trying to make sense of it together. And I think everyone contributes their piece. And I think they all have, and I think we all have. And we're all just trying to make sense of it. I mean, anybody who says they know exactly what's going on, and not even Juan claims that. And a lot of people need to stop that with him, because not even Juan claims that. I mean, it's a fluid fight, and it's move and counter move. And
I get a lot of people who ask me about Juan, and I say, you know, so I think Juan has the best of all the people that are out there. I think he has the best grasp, you know, all
without a doubt.
Grasp about what's happening, and he speaks in code, and a lot of people and you know, he speaks slow, and it takes him forever to get a thought out, and because he speaks slow, and he it takes him a lot of words to say to get a thought out. And I think a lot of people
It's because he's going at a speed he wants to go. Trust me, when I talk to him on the phone, it's a much different conversation. I'm like, Juan, why can't we just say this? He doesn't want to do it that way.
Right.
He just doesn't want to do it that way.
But I have the ability to decipher a lot of the things that he's saying. I don't know why, but you know, everything that he says, it's just like, okay, that makes total sense to me. And when I listen to it, it's like, oh man, that makes so much sense. And he influences me probably more than most. But you know, I take his stuff. I take you know, Jim Willie stuff. I take a
whole, you got to put it all together, man.
And I put it together, you know, but so few people go into all these different silos and bring these silos together, because, you know, information out there is so compartmentalized, and most, so many channels out there, they don't factor in all the different,
I do at ninoscorner.tv.
I know you do. I know you do better. You do better than a lot of people, but there are a lot of channels out there that they just focus on one tiny little silo. Yeah. But you know, and there's an analogy that I absolutely love. It was done by Mike King, and he says, you know, if I gave you a 100-piece puzzle and I told you that it was of a beach in Hawaii, and you put 30 pieces together and you see a polar bear and a penguin and a glacier, you know, you don't have the entire piece puzzle put together, so you can't see what it is, but you have enough of it put together that you know that it ain't a beach in Hawaii, right? I kind of feel like that is where we are. We don't have all the pieces to put together, but we do see things in a different way because we see through the lies. And we do, so we may only have 30% of it put together, but when we come together, we, you know, we all add a little bit of peace. And so we see a little bit different. So I really like that. I really like that about our community, you know.
Well,
that,
unfortunately, only time's going to tell. We can speculate all we want, but really only time's going to tell with all this. I mean, we are headed into uncharted waters and uncertain times for sure. I mean, and like I said before I started this video, we can all feel it. We all feel this.
Well, the thing, and you know what, honestly, from a human psychology perspective, the thing that people fear the most is the unknown.
You know,
100%. That is what people fear the most.
Yeah. And that's why I get email after email after email. People say, what's going to happen next month? What's going to happen? You said this was going to happen. It never happened. It's like, man, you know, like, give me a chance here. Like, we're trying to figure this out together.
Right.
You know,
you know what? The thing about it is that people look to you as a leader.
I have no problem with that.
And I have no problem with that either. You know, dude, I can't believe this, dude. My channel is at almost 10,000 subs.
That's good.
On Rumble. I'm like, I started like, what, a year ago. Right. So it's like, you know, and I'm.
What's your OnlyFans up to now?
I don't tell that information. You're not supposed to say that.
Oh man, Ron, I love you, man. By the way, you still need to make your trip to El Paso.
I know. Well, I sent a message to your girl. It's like, hey,
man, holding on to the money till you get here, buddy.
I know, brother. I know. Well, if you know, like, hey, it's you know, I'm actually, I have to go to Atlanta October 4th
way
through
out of the way.
Yeah, way out of the way. But when I get back, I'd rather drive than fly. So, but yeah, it's
all right, man. Well, I'm gonna put this up on FluffTube tomorrow. You want to give a shout out to your channel?
Yeah, you find me at Untold History Channel. That's my Rumble channel. I'm actually building a website that's going to be untoldhistory.us, and then I don't know if that URL takes you to my channel right now, but I'm the Untold History Channel on Rumble. And then, but I got another one. I got another URL called untoldhistory.tv, but that one is still not, I haven't pointed that someplace, but I'm just Untold History. And, you know, I'll send you a link so you can put it in the description. And I'll probably get in the, actually what I'll do is when you post it, I'll say something in there and then you can.
Yeah, jump in there. Cause if I forget a lot, you know, okay. I do, bro. Punches to the head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's why we got you a Livo 2 machine, man. So you can,
and I'm still using it. It's awesome.
Dude, that thing is awesome. Isn't it? I use mine a lot. Yeah. It's freaking awesome. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Ron.
Dude, my pleasure, man. And this was totally like, unscripted.
Yeah, unscripted. It was just I texted
him and he's like, hey, let's do a show. And I'm like, oh, let's do it.
All right. Cool, Ron. Thank you.
Hey man. Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Always love coming on your show, man. So you do an awesome job.
You do too, bro.
So thank you, brother. Appreciate it.